Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
We're talking about, over this conversation, remember about organizing and that type of thing. And I want to say, you know, at the beginning of this, you know, that a mother can organize her house and it's cool. You know what I'm saying? A father can organize his family, and that's just wonderful. You can organize your bookshelf, and that's wonderful. So the word organize is not a bad word. You know what I'm saying? It's the context of what's behind we're talking about. What is the reason? What is the motive behind it? And I truly believe, and I've said it in the context of it, that people have taken captive so much vocabulary and past experiences of others. And they're just using them for their own causes.
Co-opted, hijacked it.
Hijacking it. And one is, who I believe is an apostle of the Lord, is Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who walked out. And you got to see this. It's going to, by the time we finish up these last three tactics talking about them, you're going to see a comparison. On one side, you're going to see Saul Alinsky's dedication and his methodology, his tactics. And on the other side, you're going to see Dr. King's dedication and his tactics and compare them. And one is light and one is dark. One is Jesus and one is Lucifer. You know what I'm saying? In regards to Lucifer's tactic. That is not Dr. King. And Dr. King organized in the context of the United States Constitution. And not only did he do that, I mean, he stayed within the context of the laws, and he was a lawyer, but he also stayed under God's law. He stayed faithful to God and walking under God's. I mean, the Ten Commitments that you had to walk, we're going to see these Ten Commitments. And so we can imitate those through faith who have gone before us in our own very nation of how to walk out in the context of America, walk out for the fullness of what is right and what is just. I love what Dr. King said on one of the interviews. I think it was like 60 Minutes or whatever it was at that particular time, the news hour or whatever. They had like a piece of paper come up over. It was like very, you know, no graphics. And but he says, well, he says, what do you think about, you know, that folks are they're saying that people are breaking the law and they weren't. He did not support that at all.
No.
But he did say this, because the Constitution is about justice for all. And so every citizen has the constitutional right and protection of the Constitution and what's there. So therefore, every unjust law is not a law at all. Does that make sense? And so because it's not constitutional.
It's the Constitution.
But that has to be weighed out in the courts. And so you test that by, you know, going to the courts, and the courts check it out to see if it's just or not. That's why sometimes they make a law, but they take it to the courts, and the courts go, you got to throw this out because this is an unjust law. It's not constitutional. So I thought that was, you know, just brilliance in the context of that. And so we're talking about Saul, the Pharisee. It talks about in the book of Acts, when we're talking about the man that God used to write one half of the New Testament, they build Bible schools on. I mean, he was an organizer. He was organizing for Lucifer. And you can hear this whole thing, you know, but when we're talking about the next aspect of it, because in the beginning, he was organizing for darkness, persecuting the light, the church. And as he was going to the road to Damascus, with spewing out venomous threats against the church, he bumped into the light. He ran into Jesus and he met God, God who he thought he was serving. When he did meet God, he immediately allowed God to begin to organize him and said, you are the supreme organizer. And he began to organize his life. Why? Because then we find out that Jesus is the supreme organizer of the church. So, hey, when we're moving in pride and in darkness, we're organizing. But when we're moving in obedience to Jesus, he's organizing. Even if it means we're walking in the context of something like Moses was walking at when God was delivering a people, it's still under the leadership of God. Moses got his orders from God. And Dr. King, based on what his testimony is, and his niece, Pastor Evita King, you know, and just hearing is it's just beautiful to hear. And I'm looking forward to one day being able to speak and talk with him. But then, you know, you had the persecutor organizer who was persecuting the church, which was Saul.
Mm-hmm.
And when he gets saved and gives his life to Jesus and say, here I am, he allows God to begin to organize him. And what happens is he was working in the kingdom of darkness when he was persecuting the church. But now that he's actually moved into the kingdom of light, persecution doesn't go away. It just shifts. Because today, we're going to talk about the last part of this, is Saul the persecuted. Saul the persecuted. It's not the persecution doesn't go away. It's just now you're not persecuting folks because you've entered into the light. And it's a battle between kingdoms. It's a very simple equation. It's a battle between good and evil, light and dark, Lucifer and God. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're on Lucifer's side, when you're walking in darkness, you are under his instruction, under his command, and you are a slave to what you obey and who you obey. But when you are up under Jesus Christ, you are no longer a part of the kingdom of darkness, but the kingdom of light.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so now, where you were once in the kingdom of darkness and you persecuted Christians and believers and gave those folks a hard time, understand now, when you move into kingdom of light, they're going to persecute you. It's not abnormal. It's just what happens in this battle between the light and dark.
Mm-hmm.
And so we look now, here's Paul, you know, and Saul. You know, he's been organized by God, and he's gone through his experience and his training, and Jesus is organizing his life now and leads him on a journey. In Acts chapter 21, verse 27, it starts when he's talking about the persecution that takes place. It says, when the Jews saw Paul at the temple, we would say the church, right? Mm-hmm. The religious thing. When they saw him there, they stirred up the whole crowd. They organized the crowd. See, there was a day that Paul was the one that stirred up the crowd around Stephen. We talked about it. But now he's being organized against. Just relax. Just relax. You just switch kingdoms. It's cool.
That's it.
You switch kingdoms. The difference is now you got to listen to the orders of the supreme organizer. You're no longer calling the shots. You start calling the shots, you move into the kingdom of darkness. And so they stirred up the crowd, began to organize around Paul, which that's Saul's name, got changed to Paul. And they seized him. They organized such a way that they actually see the crowd seized Paul. And they shouted to the crowd. They began to hold up, quote, these proverbial signs and text things out. And they said, men of Israel, help us. These organizers are saying, right?
Mm-hmm.
He said, this is the man who teaches all men everywhere against our people. Remember those words, our people. Against our laws. Remember that, our laws. And thirdly, against this place. Remember that, this place. Men and women held in captivity in darkness, even religious darkness, take it personal. They take it personal when this happens. They feel that you're against them, for they are overtaken by self-preservation. Our people, our way, our place. Satan has convinced them, Lucifer has convinced them, that those who are for the kingdom of God are against them. But what really is happening is that the presence of God's kingdom, the preaching of God's kingdom, the seeking of God's kingdom reveals and exposes what they've been building and are now depending on, which is their kingdoms, their place, their way, their people. Progression of kingdoms is what we're really seeing here, because all of a sudden, when I was talking about you preach the kingdom of God, all of a sudden other men's kingdoms begin to surface and they begin to fight for their people, their way, their place. And so, but Jesus tells us the very first thing we do when we actually decide that for him to be our supreme organizer, when we make him the Lord of our life, he says to do this in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, he says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, the way he wants us to order our life. That's the very thing, the first thing he tells us to do. Why? Because you just entered into his kingdom. You didn't enter into no program. You entered into the king's dominion. And so you left one kingdom and you entered into another kingdom. The kingdom you just left is not going to be happy about it. And we're just finding out right here, they're not happy that Paul left their kingdom. And they're angry. This is the man that's teaching another kingdom. He's teaching, you know, so all of a sudden. So Jesus tells us the first thing you do is seek first the kingdom of God, the king's dominion in your life. Well, that's not a big deal if you heard this whole conversation, because he is the supreme organizer. You don't organize yourself anymore. Mm-hmm. You don't organize your marriage. God organizes these things, and you do, he says in the context of that, and he empowers your marriage to actually work. Luke 17:20-21, he talks about this, where the kingdom is located. So it doesn't matter what people are organizing on the outside. They're going to do all that kind of stuff. We heard about that, and we heard about when Jesus was offered the kingdoms of this world by Lucifer. He said, they were given to me, I'll give them to you. And he's like, forget it. So this is what Jesus says. He says, once he was being asked by the Pharisees in Luke 17:20, he was being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come. And Jesus told them, the kingdom of God is not something that can be observed, nor will people say, here it is or there it is. Why? Because the kingdom of God is within you, in your midst. Understood. Understand this. Everywhere Paul went, under the supreme organizer of Jesus Christ, that's where the kingdom of God went. Mm-hmm. You're a kingdom container. The king, God, dwells inside light. So everywhere you go, you bring light if you are a child of the day. I mean, if you are a child of the light. Yet there's other kingdoms in this world. There's other kingdoms that other than God's kingdom. I mean, this is what happens in Luke 4. He tells us about it here in Luke 4 when the devil Lucifer led Jesus, or he was led, actually he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted, but the devil Lucifer led Jesus. This is Luke chapter 4, verse 1 through 2 and 5 and 9. The devil Lucifer led Jesus up to a high place, I mean, all the way to the top of, I don't know, Washington, D.C., maybe to Mount Moriah in Israel, I don't know, to a high place, and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world, and said to Jesus, I will give you all their authority, all their splendor, if. And then he says this. This is Lucifer. Lucifer says it's the Son of God. I will give you all their authority and all their splendor, for it has been given to me. Lucifer said, it's been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want.
Mm-hmm.
But you understand now, there's one kingdom called the kingdom of God, and there's a whole bunch of these other kingdoms under the kingdom of darkness.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus didn't say, that's not true, you're a liar. He didn't say that. He says, if you'll worship me, if you'll bow down to me, I'll give you these kingdoms, and they'll be yours. Jesus didn't call him a liar. He just said, listen, it is written, worship the Lord your God and him only. He understood what he's telling us, that his kingdom is not of this world. This battle, whether it's an individual battle with yourself, whether it's a battle in your family, when it's a battle, maybe it's a battle in your community, maybe it's a battle in your state, in your nation, your region, in the world, are all battles of kingdoms. It's over who's king. Whose dominion. It's all about just what Saul was doing at first, and now what's happening to him. My people, my laws, my place, my stuff, my things. The kingdom of God is what it's all about for us. Luke 4:42-43. The people tried to get Jesus to stay in their town when he was walking through his ministry. And this is what he said. He said, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns, because this is why I was sent. This is why he was sent. It's about the kingdom of God. And then John the Baptist, he says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God is near. And Jesus sends his disciples out in Matthew 10:7. He says, as you go, preach this message, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God is near. And as Jesus was sent to preach the good news of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, now he says in John 17:18, and as you fathers, he's praying to the Father, to the creator of the universe, his Father, He says, as you, Father God, sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from Lucifer. Hmm. How was he sent? Why was he sent? To preach the kingdom. To preach the kingdom. Listen, this is the sign of the end of the age. He talks about it in Matthew 24. Great deception. Many false claims of many people calling themselves, they're false Christians, false prophets, false preachers. All that stuff. Wars, rumors of wars. Nations will rise against nation. Ethnic group against ethnic group. Kingdom against kingdom. Families divided. Earthquakes. Famine. Christians will hate. Christians will be hated by every nation that exists out there. Many false prophets. During this time, many will turn away from their faith, from the kingdom of God. There will be a great falling away, a betrayal of others. Because of this great darkness and wickedness, that the love of most will grow cold. But this is what he says in Matthew 24:14. And this gospel of the kingdom of God will be preached to the whole world as a test before all witnesses, to all races. Then the end will come. Why does he tell us to pray? When he tells us to pray, he says, listen, our Father, who art in heaven, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. We're so excited to be able to tell you about our new expanded audience. We're going to give a big shout out and hello to the Emerald Coast, all the way from Mississippi to Destin, Florida, as we're bringing in 1.4 million new viewers, because we are going to be on WHBR. That's right. The VFM radio program. Just you're finally going to get a chance to be able to see us Monday through Friday at 2 p.m. Central Time. Of course, we're always going to be here on VFN radio 24/7, live from 9 to 11 Central Time. But you're going to be able to see us on every day that day on WHBR. Find out your listings in the area. You can go to VFNTV.com to find out the times and locations for your area. But it's 2 p.m. Central Time, all the way from Mississippi to Destin, Florida. You'll be able to see us, VFN Radio, taking place. We are so excited about it.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the daily VFN Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com. Or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com. VFN Radio is brought to you by friends like you and our underwriters. Find out more how you can join them by giving, or how you, your business or ministry, can become an underwriter at VFNTV.com.